just get set up here. Yeah, so like Daniel said, I have the privilege of bringing one of the last of a couple. We've still got a couple of weeks left on this in our Heroes of the Bible series. And you will notice, actually, I did this on purpose when I made this. These are actually all of the characters out of the Beginner's Bible. These are all the, like, out of, I got inspired by my son's own Bible. Because how great is it, even as adults, to go back to the stories that we heard as kids or that have been rolling around for years and years and years and actually unpack them as adults with a brand new understanding? How good is that? I am a millennial. I will claim it. Sorry. I am a Christian millennial, which means I grew up in the era of VeggieTales. Like primo VeggieTales. None of this VeggieTales in the City rubbish that's on Netflix now. Like my son is not allowed to watch it. It is like heresy to VeggieTales, whatever that is. Veggie-sy? I don't know. I grew up in the era of primo VeggieTales. The cheeseburger song, the Cebu, the hairbrush song, basically all the silly songs with Larry. And yes, we listened to that album in my car, along with Bluey. But one of my favourite VeggieTales movies is Shadrach, Meshach and Benny. It is the best. The bunny song, Nebuchadnezzar and his like kingdom of chocolate bunnies, like I'm pretty sure that's where my love of chocolate comes from, must be the bunny. Everything is about the bunny. Today, I was like, I'll just show you the movie, and then I'll just like say something about it. But then like copyright issues, and so you're gonna have to deal with actually reading it from the word. And we're dealing with like not chocolate bunnies, but like golden statues. So that's where we're going. So today we are digging into Shadrach, Meshach, and Benny. I'm not saying Abednego. It's Benny. It will always be Benny. So we're going to jump into Daniel chapter 3, and I'll do a quick Daniel recap to catch you up to where we are. But basically, everyone has heard of Daniel and the Lion's Den, right? This is the Daniel that this book is all about. And Daniel has friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that is who we're going to focus on. But first of all, we need to understand what is happening in the book of Daniel, where we're coming from. So the book of Daniel covers approximately 70 years of the Bible, from about 600 BC through to about 530 BC, because time, it's backwards, so it's like negatives, and so it comes forwards. Blows my brain too. I'm not maths orientated. But basically it is a season during which the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of the Jewish people takes place. So the Jewish people are taken out of the promised land and they're sent to Babylon. And if you look at one of those really cool maps of the Babylonian Empire, this is the bit where it starts like encroaching all over Judah. And so this massive empire is taking over. In Daniel chapter 1, I just slow down. I always get like overexcited when I preach. In Daniel chapter 1, we're introduced to the main players and we start to get an understanding of their unwavering faith that God is in control. We could be here for hours unpacking this whole book, but we're going to jump ahead. So Daniel essentially gets thrown into a lion's den, doesn't die, even though, like, has anyone been to Melbourne Zoo recently? You have? Yeah. The lions, you can hear them from the other side of the zoo. Like when they're roaring, they are loud. They are like, I'm not going to imitate. I would for Gideon, but I won't for you guys because that's embarrassing. Lions are vicious creatures. Daniel got thrown into a pit of lions who were hungry and did not get eaten. Miracle, right? Absolute miracle. And so the setup starts where the king, so Nebuchadnezzar, starts to get this sense that there is a God who can do miraculous things. And God starts moving in Babylon and doing incredible things. It's the setup for this next part of the story. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, Benny, get promoted into positions that allow this next part of the story to happen. God is at work. They prove themselves as faithful to both God and useful to the king. So then they get put into a position where they are even more useful to God. So we're going to jump in at Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 15 verses. So grab your Bible, grab your phone, look at the screen, but stick with me. So King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of a horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the flute, horn, etc., etc., all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They're really good at following instructions. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, blah, 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 must fall down and worship the image of God, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought to the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "It is true. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, blah, 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 if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" So the king has set up a golden statue. He has commanded everybody to worship it whenever music plays. And whoever does not worship it gets thrown into a blazing furnace. Quick recap of the 15 verses. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not worship anyone but God. They will not bow down and worship this golden idol. Now, there is not a dictator calling for us to lay down and worship a golden idol, right? This story seems a bit abstract. We don't have to, like, there's not harps playing or a horn and we're like, we have to, like, lay down and worship. But we currently live in a society that is growing increasingly further from a Christian worldview. And while it might not be a physical golden statue, there are idols, there are beliefs, there are cultural issues, there are all kinds of things that the world is calling for us to bow down to lean over on, to worship instead of God. And the number one thing is self. If we look at everything that's going on in society right now, all of the struggles, all of the stuff that we're up against, and we're going to dig into some of this stuff in actual detail as how do we as Christians actually stand up to this, or how do we live in a world with this? We're going to dig into that over the next couple of months, so I encourage you to be here for that. But I don't know where I was going with that. I totally lost my train of thought. but it all comes down to this idea of self, of I am God. I come first. My happiness, my thoughts, my feelings, this is the biggest one, my feelings come first, not God. So while this story may seem a bit, you know, whatever, it happened in, you know, 550-odd BC, that 2,500-odd years ago, I can't do maths, Jono's shaking his head at me, a long, long, long time ago, it's still relevant to us today. That is what is so amazing about the Word of God. And that is why we can stand on its truth. And we can read stories like this and we go, cool, God, show me what to do. Because it might not be a golden statue, but it is an idol. So Nebuchadnezzar says, what God will rescue you? He believes that no God can rescue these guys from a fiery furnace. But those who know the true God know that Nebuchadnezzar's claim is pathetic, right? God can rescue from anything. If we jump into Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, I need to find the right post-it. It says this, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. There is no point in the leaders of this earth trying to remove God, because he is the one who wins. We already know that God has conquered. We may be up against plots against Christians. We might be up against a culture that is trying to remove our ability to live a Christian life, to raise our children in a Christian way, to conduct ourselves in the way that God has called us to. But it is all in vain, because we know that God has already won the victory. And so even back then, when Nebuchadnezzar says, what God will be able to rescue you, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego knew that their God would. And today, what God will be able to rescue us from our situation? Our God will. The same God that rescued them from a fiery furnace, which sounds insane, and we're going to get into a little bit more about how insane that sounds, he will rescue us today. Amen? Back to the story, getting sidetracked. What King Nebuchadnezzar has failed to realize here is that God is fully in control of this situation. I mentioned before that this situation has actually already been set up by God. Daniel got thrown into into a lion's den so that he would survive, God's miracle working power would be shown, so that Daniel would get promoted, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego would be promoted, so that they could be in this position that Nebuchadnezzar was aware of the fact that they existed in the first place, and then when they didn't bow down, something would happen. God has been working this whole story together, three chapters, for his plan, for his fruition. This whole thing is God setting something up. I have full faith that God is setting something up in our society right now, right? Whenever there is a massive cultural attack, a massive shift in society away from God, there has always been a revival come back at the other end. And so this society that we live in, this situation that we live in, I'm talking like broad cultural here, but even if it is a personal thing to you that you are suffering with, God is setting something up. It might be for your glory, it might be for his glory, but either way, God is setting something up. Faith is rising and the Holy Spirit is positioning his church for something new right now. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and it's important to note this, stayed in their lane. They didn't get involved in the politics of the statue. They weren't walking around condemning the statue going, no, we won't bow down. No, don't bow down to the statue because the statue isn't God. They weren't making a fuss. They weren't trying to change the statue or tell everybody else that the statue was wrong. They knew that God was in control. They stayed true to what God had called them to do, which was do their job and worship him. They knew that all glory would come back to him, that everybody else would see his glory in due time, and all they needed to do was stay faithful. They were resolute that even in the face of death, their personal value, their conviction to the truth of God would not be shifted. We're going to jump back in and keep reading from verse 16. So Nebuchadnezzar had just said, what God will be able to rescue you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They were resolute that even if the glory was not going to be theirs, it would be God's. It didn't matter if they died, because they knew they were going to be with God anyway. They knew there was something good. They knew that God would prevail. That's hard, right? Because the human nature, the sin nature goes, but what about me? I will be dead. But the spiritual nature says, but God will be glorified. There is no point, and this is a hard thought, if I'm dead, I won't know that I'm dead. Tricky, hey? And our compassion goes, but my husband will be sad and my son will miss me. But what if God is glorified? What if in my suffering, those people that I am so compassionate about and that it hurts my heart to see them sad, what if they meet God more? What if God does something else? And it's a challenge. It is confronting. It is a tough idea that we don't want to deal with because we're like, nope, I don't want to think about that. But what if? Even when they were pushed to the brink of death, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not be persuaded otherwise, other than God. There is no other. When we are up against it, when something terrible happens, what is our response? Is it conviction to what God says, to what he has promised you? Or are you persuaded by the world's response to kindness, acceptance, whatever other label the world wants to say that makes us shift what we have been called to and shift what God has asked us to do and be in this world? Do we stand firm in prayer and dig deeper into the Word and seek the Holy Spirit, or do we go out and have some drinks or party with friends or go be social and just try and like forget what we're actually struggling with? Do we turn on Netflix and do self-care, because self is best, instead of soul care? The world says, look after yourself. But God says, come to me. Here's the thing. If God laughs in the face of earthly plots, like we read in Psalm 2, then so should we. God will remain faithful as I serve his kingdom. I will not bow down. God will protect my family and my children from the agenda of the world. I will not bow down. God will bring his call on my life to fruition. I will not bow down. God will heal me. He will restore my marriage. He will provide. He will save. He will deliver. The Bible tells us that he is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, provider, healer, peace. That is just three of hundreds of names of who God is. So when we are up against it, where do we go? Do we go to what the world says, or do we go to the word of God who says, I have what you need. I am what you need. Do not bow down. I am, and we have the benefit that these guys didn't have. We have the New Testament. We know that the Holy Spirit is in us. I am your provider, healer, and peace, and I am already in you. Don't bow down. God is in control. Don't fear. God reigns. God has already won the battle. Stick with him. We're going to continue on to verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Beni and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Now this is an important note because all of this fabric burns, right? If you've ever seen ads about fires in a house, everybody's seen the ad where there's like a heater and it's set up next to a set of curtains and the curtains go up in flames? The warning, yep, don't set up a heater near flames because they will burn. These guys were basically wearing like a whole bunch of curtains, like layers and layers of curtains, going to catch on fire. Verse 22, the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Beni. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The guys who put them in there died. Like, this is the, like, taking it from, like, a VeggieTales story to, like, hold on a second, let me just assess this situation. That fire was so hot, the people that put the guys in there died. Yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with all of their fire, like, inviting robes, did not die. Like, miracle number one, they made it into the fire alive. Like, it sounds backwards, but like, miracle number one, they're still alive, all tied up. Interestingly here, when King Nebuchadnezzar heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's words, he changed his attitude towards them. How often, when we deliver truth, does someone's attitude towards us change? How often do we not deliver truth because we're scared that somebody's attitude towards us will change? Nebuchadnezzar turned up the pressure. The world is currently turning up the pressure. The enemy is moving and doing stuff and turning up the pressure. Like I said, culturally, globally, society, broad picture, but also as Christians are starting to move and make a move of God in our own personal lives, spiritual attack, the pressure's getting turned up, right? Sickness, illness, stress, mental health, finances, it's all spiritual attack. The pressure is getting turned up. You might be staring down the face of a really, really hot fire right now, a fire like you've never seen. You probably thought before you got to this point, you would not be falling into the fire alive. You thought that God would like stop you before you got to the fire part, right? You prayed that God would save you from the fire. So you're thinking like, I'm not going into the fire. God's going to stop, like it's going to stop here before we get into the fiery bit. And so now you've got some doubt. And the voice of the enemy is starting to creep in. It's like, oh, you're in some fire. I guess God didn't rock up. Have confidence in him. because when the enemy turns up the heat, God does too. We're going to jump in again at verse 24. So King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" "Certainly, O king," he said, "look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. There's a couple of things here. Firstly, I said God turns up the heat too. God does crazy stuff in the midst of a fire, right? Let's think about this again for a second. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown into a fire, completely tied up. The guys that threw them in there died because fire burns and is dangerous and kills people, right? Yet they're in the fire, not getting burnt. And then God's like, "I'm just going to appear too." God walked with them in the fire. That's the miracle. Because if a situation had occurred where, you know, for some reason there was an interruption and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never actually quite made it into the fire, then it's still a miracle, but it could be attributed to anything. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar changed his mind. Oh, he had a change of heart. Oh, you know, we would know that's God, but the satraps, prefects, governors, royal advisors, et cetera, may not have recognized that. Instead, when the enemy turns up the heat, God does something even more miraculous. He walked with them through it. God walks with us through what we are facing every single time. In Isaiah 43, it says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for the flames will not set you ablaze." Notice God doesn't say, "when you walk next to the waters," or "when you pass next to the rivers," or "when you see a fire and walk around it." We live in a world that has been corrupted by sin. And if we want to come full circle, it was all initiated by Eve's sin of idolatry of self. Let's just go full circle there. She thought she knew better than God. Therefore, we live in a world full of sin. Therefore, bad stuff is going to happen. That is the nature of the world that we live in. There will be fires. There will be rivers. There will be floods. There will be suffering. There will be pain. There is death. But God walks with us through it. We will not be set ablaze. The world expects a miracle outside of the fire, before the fire, expects the fire not to start. And how many times have we heard from non-Christian and some Christian friends alike, "well, if God existed, that wouldn't have happened"? That's not the nature of the world that we live in. It sucks, don't get me wrong. It's hard. It's not enjoyable. But what is enjoyable is the fact that we know God is with us, in us, in the Holy Spirit through every single one of those situations. God uses the fire to develop us. there's a lyric in a song, in a worship song, and it says, where the enemy sets for evil, God uses for good. And it is so true. Whether it's for our glory on earth, for our glory in knowing God better, understanding who he is more, or whether it's for his glory to us or to those around us, God uses the fire for good. We're going to read the end of this story now. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own." I'm just going to read that again. Willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. No other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. No other God can save in this way. We cannot save ourselves. Me trying to have a nice, lovely, long, hot bath with a bunch of chocolate watching Netflix is not going to save my soul. It will make me feel nice and warm and cozy and happy, maybe for a couple of days. Well, who knows how difficult my toddler will be. But it will not save me. Me trying to fix my feelings, me trying to read self-help books, me trying to go out with friends and have a fun time to try and numb the pain of whatever is going on in my life is not going to fix me. No other God can save you, can save me. Only God can. And he does it not always in the way that we expect. It might not always be before the fire. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, by the grace of God, we get saved before we go through the trial. Sometimes it is in the midst of the fire. You may be up against your greatest test yet, your greatest fire yet, but there will be favor on the other side, whether in this kingdom or God's. You will see God in a new way. Others will recognize the goodness of God through your faith. There will be shifts in the heavenly realm when God and his armies defeat the armies that are advancing on you. If the fires of life are threatening, take heart. The miracle of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a miracle for you too. Be convicted in your faith. Believe and have confidence in his promise so that when the pressure increases, you have complete reliance on him. You have expectation that God will come through. God prepares us for what is to come so that we can be resilient when we get knocked down or when the flames lick around our ankles. We can be examples to others. Sometimes God is setting something up. Actually, scrap that. God is always setting something up. Because God knows what is coming. For you, for our world, for our society, what we go through is part of a greater story. And sometimes that can hurt, right? Because our self goes, why did I have to suffer for somebody else to whatever, meet God even? Sometimes our soul is that selfish. Why did I have to suffer so that that person could meet God? We are part of the kingdom of glory. And our suffering is only earthly suffering, because we get to go be with God in heaven. Amen? This world is temporary, but eternity is forever. And when we believe truly, wholly, that we are God's people, not the earth's people, we still go through suffering, but we can be so much more resilient, because we know there is goodness, whether we see it or not. God is good, and he does great things. He does miraculous things. Right? Amen. I'm going to finish here, but I want us to end on a note of praise, of celebration of what God does. The fire is scary, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Benny, would have been scared. Like, they're standing at the pit of fire and the guys around them fall dead. And they know they're going in there. Like, the reality of that situation, that's not like a fun VeggieTales theme song. That's like, we're done, we're cooked. But they stood steadfast, knowing that God would save them. Sometimes we read these stories and we're like, oh yeah, it's a nice idea. No, this actually happened. God actually saved these men. This is not a metaphor. This is not like a nice story. This is not just something that we hear in Sunday school. This actually happened. God saved them, and he will save you too. He has already done great things in your life. Sometimes the enemy is really, really good at making us forget. And so we need to declare it. We need to declare the goodness of God. We need to declare that he is a lifesaver. We need to declare that he is healer, provider, that he has everything that we need. And so we are going to declare this morning how great God is. I invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We thank you for your word of truth. We thank you that their story is able to bring us encouragement, is able to bring us closer to you. Lord God, that their suffering, their trial, their fire is now used to bring you glory, Heavenly Father, and introduce people to you. Lord God, we thank you for everything you have already done in our lives. We thank you for the fire that we are up against. Lord God, we thank you that we get to be a part of the story of bringing you glory. Lord God, help us to be resolute. Help us to know you. Help us to stand firm. Help us to see the joy and the goodness and the greatness and the miracle in our fire, Lord God. Whatever we are facing, Lord God, I pray that your miracle power will intervene. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is moving and changing this world. We thank you that the spiritual realms are in battle, Lord God, but we know that you have already won the victory. Heavenly Father, we worship you today and we thank you and we pray that you will just continue to work in our hearts and our minds and draw us closer and closer to you, Heavenly Father. Amen.